Advocates for sexual assault victims are concerned about yesterday's ruling by the Washington State Supreme Court. Until yesterday, if you defended yourself against rape accusations by saying she wanted it, you'd have to prove sexual consent. Well, in a 6-3 ruling, the Supreme Court of Washington ruled that that's no longer true. In some cases now, the burden of proof has shifted to the accuser to prove that he or she did not agree to go along. Emily Cordo directs sexual violence legal services at the YWCA, and she co-wrote an amicus brief in support of sexual assault victims on this case. Emily, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
You're welcome.
First of all, could you briefly describe the case that went before the court?
This case and this ruling relates to cases of forcible rape, where the defendant is alleged to have used force overcoming the victim's resistance or threats of violence. In such a case in the past, if the defendant wanted to claim that the victim consented, there was a burden by a preponderance of the evidence on the defendant. This case now shifts that burden to the prosecutor to prove not only beyond a reasonable doubt that force or threats were used, but also that the victim did not consent.
Deborah Dwyer represented the state in oral arguments back in March, and here's how she laid out the relevant legal question.
Whether, when the state has proved forcible compulsion, the state has necessarily disproved consent or proved a lack of consent.
That's a little difficult to grasp. Could you explain this case?
Sure. These are a limited range of severe cases. And in the hypothetical where a rapist, for example, holds a knife to the victim's throat and tells the victim, pretend that you want this or I'll kill you, the trial court should be focused on the knife and the threat and the rape. It shouldn't be focused on whether or not the victim was actually consenting when the victim stopped fighting in order to save his or her own life. This case shifts the focus back to what was the victim's behavior in this situation rather than what did the defendant allegedly do.
What was the reasoning behind the majority ruling in this case?
It is clear that there are due process protections that make it difficult to put a burden of proof on the defendant. But if the majority opinion is correct, that you cannot have both force and consent at the same time, that consent under duress is not real consent, then the idea that there was such a burden on the defendant was really not very significant in reality. On paper, this law, the change to the law may not seem very significant. The impact of this ruling is really more in the reality of the way jury trials go in actual courtrooms.
Not all the justices went along with this. There was a dissent. What did the dissent say?
The three judges who dissented were focused on what the actual impact of framing a case is in a jury trial and what kind of a story the prosecutor has to tell to the jury before they go back to deliberate. Previously, the prosecutor was able to focus on what kinds of threats and force were used in order to compel the victim to have sex. Now, the prosecutor's story is going to have to refocus on what the victim's behavior was and whether or not that was sufficient in these kinds of cases where force was used.
Emily, this was not the ruling that you were hoping for. How will it affect your work with sexual violence victims?
This ruling is going to make it more difficult at every stage of the process. Victims will be less likely to report if they have to worry that they're going to be put on trial, even in these severe cases. Law enforcement investigations that focus on the victim rather than on the crime, we know, often let sexual predators slip through the cracks. Prosecutors are going to be less likely to file charges because they know they'll be facing an even more uphill battle than they already do. And if the case ever does get to a jury, the juries will be increasingly influenced by victim blaming and rape myths that are already a concern, but were less of a concern under the previous system.
Is this shift of proof unique to Washington State? Have other states done the same thing?
There are a range of ways that this law is interpreted. Around the country, Washington is in line in many ways with the rest of the country in terms of these cases being extremely difficult to convict, even in cases where there was, in fact, a violent rape.
Now, Washington State's highest court has ruled on this case. Could it go to the U.S. Supreme Court for a larger ruling?
The U.S. Supreme Court might have a difficult time considering this decision because, again, it is a fairly technical matter in the sense that if force and consent are two sides of the same coin and one disproves the other, in theory, there shouldn't be any different in the way that these cases go through the system. Unfortunately, in reality, because of the tendency to blame the victim for their own assaults, the impact is going to be experienced much more in ways that are not reflected in case law, and therefore it doesn't necessarily make it for a good appellate case to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Emily Korda, we've talked about some of the repercussions of this case. Are there others we have not discussed that you think are important for people to consider?
The experience of victims going through the justice system is already incredibly difficult. Any victim who reports a case knows that they're going to spend the next few years of their lives being disbelieved, disrespected, judged, and ultimately blamed for their own rapes. And this decision is only going to make it worse for those victims and discourage the few victims that do currently report from being willing to participate with criminal prosecutions.
Emily Korda, thank you very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Emily Korda directs the Sexual Violence Legal Services at the YWCA, commenting on a decision by the Washington State Supreme Court. What do you think about the ruling? You can write to us, record at kuow.org, or call the feedback line 206-221-3663. That's 206-221-3663. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.